a frequency beyond space and time.
Unspeakable knowledge. It is Mad Tower Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Mad Tower Radio. I'm your host, Dan. And as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Christian.
Hey.
And this is episode 14 of our podcast. Christian, why don't you tell them what this podcast is about?
Well, here at the Mad Tower Radio, we come every week with a little show and tell for the other partner, whether it's a cryptid we found over the course of the week particularly interesting, or a conspiracy, or a story, or something in the news. Like last week, Dan gave us a little bit about those obelisks from last year. And next week, I'm going to do a little thing about, you know, the Sasquatch documentary on Hulu. Just something scary, interesting that we found and want to share with the world and each other.
I think that's a good way to preface it, because what I'm bringing for you today is kind of in a gray area. Okay. But before I get into that, I want to put out two disclaimers. We'll just go back to back really quick. One, I had an absolutely hellish week at work, man. I was telling you about it. I have to research this shit in between time I get off work, hanging out with my wife and fucking, you know, having a life. And then I get to research for Mad Tower Radio. So some weeks, you know, sometimes I just find something that speaks to me and I'm like, oh, dude, the next episode is on this. And then sometimes it's like, oh, man, like I got fucking nothing and we're recording tomorrow.
Oh, you know, sometimes it's the Chernobyl beast and sometimes it's Saddam Hussein's warp gates. Like, I totally get that.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And then second disclaimer, the topic I have for you today, like I said, it's a bit of a gray area. I don't want you guys to think that this is going to become a true crime podcast or anything like that. But I don't know how to describe this this phenomenon, I guess, or this, like, I don't know. I don't know what to call it, you know? But I found some stories a little while ago about what essentially is a, like, battle royale that will, like, take place in the woods or, like, any far off the grid area. And people will just go out and they will fucking kill each other, you know?
Like a blood sport type thing? Like they're all consenting to this?
Blood sport. And then I also, blood sport, but I think my topic that I brought today is equal parts human hunting. The title I gave this in my notes was The Most Dangerous Game. Which, let me tell you, have you ever read The Most Dangerous Game?
I did read The Most Dangerous Game.
Did you like it?
I thought it was cool. I don't think it's worth, like, referencing and prefacing for everything that ever happens in the world after it, but it was fine.
It came out in 1924. And let me just tell you, reading anything from 1924, like, I might just have the brain of a fucking chimp, but, like, oh my God, it's so hard. It's so hard. Dude spent like two fucking pages just talking about how it was a cool moonlit night and it was really nice out. I don't need two pages for you to tell me that, dude.
That's my shit. I'm all about that.
I don't know. I definitely think that there's better ways for an author to really set you in the scene without spending two pages doing it. But I mean, that's just me, but it was a very, 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 I don't even think I finished it, honestly. I got to the part where they started throwing out racial slurs, and then I think I fell asleep.
Oh my God. But you're telling me something akin to The Most Dangerous Game is happening out in the woods?
Something akin to The Most Dangerous Game, something akin to Battle Royale.
Oh my God.
Now, this is why I said it's not going to become a true crime podcast, but this is something that I wanted to talk about because I do think it's crazy, man. So have you ever heard of a man named Thomas Dillon?
Thomas Dillon, the most Teflon boring name in the world. No, I've not.
Yeah, right. So our man Thomas Dillon was your average Ohio outdoorsman. He was a hunter and a fisher and just enjoyed being outdoors. But he also hunted people in Ohio.
And he's just like going to the media about it, like saying it out loud.
I mean, he had some classic serial killer staples. He did do that, but for the most part, like he was just, I guess for lack of a better term, like the love of the game, you know? So I guess like his MO, like he picked up his shell casings. He did like everything to cover his ass, you know?
Okay.
But all he did was just drive hundreds of miles on the weekend, just hundreds of miles out into the country. And when like he found someone who was alone, he would just get out of his truck, get up back in the bed of his truck, grab his rifle, and just shoot them. Like he was hunting a deer.
I mean, what is the difference between a dude who hunts people and just like a serial killer? Like, what's your distinction here?
I mean, I guess like, you know, with serial killers, it's always, most times it always just comes down to that sexual aspect, you know?
I did love Mindhunter, yeah.
Oh, Mindhunter was a treat.
So you're classifying it more as like a hunting thing?
Yeah, like this guy, he would just like, he would go out there and he would just like if you were a jogger on the side of the road, if you were like a farmer just out in the front yard, you know, like just stop his truck from like a good distance away and just shoot you like you were a deer.
And he did this a lot. He made a hobby of this.
Yeah. Yeah. He, let me pull up his, kill count, I guess.
Oh my God. His score sheet.
Yeah. Man, how do these true crime guys do it?
I think you have to have a certain, you know, taste for that kind of thing.
5 known victims.
And I'm assuming he had an ending? Like, he no longer takes part in the hunt?
No, he's doing his time.
Oh, they got him.
In the big house in the slammer.
Okay.
But they interviewed one of his childhood friends, and he said that when they were teenagers, that they would drive around out in the country, and they would just shoot at road signs, and they would, like, just kill animals, and that, like, yeah, he was a fucking, like, he was a dumb kid, and he outgrew doing that. His friend did, but, like, you know, Dillon would still hit him up and be like, he walked away because Dillon wanted to, he wanted to go to the next level, you know? He started killing, like, family's pets and, like, stuff like that. And that's when he was like, nah, man, this is, like, too much for me. So it seemed like this guy just liked the act of, like, killing, you know?
Okay.
And to me, it just seems like he wanted to fucking just go to the next level, you know?
And get away with it. Do you think that like preparation aspect or that like preparedness to like cover your tracks has anything to do with it?
That probably has to do with the sport aspect of it, you know? Like he probably gets some sort of satisfaction from like leave no trace. Mm-hmm. Like I'm the hunter, like nobody knows, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's really weird. But, like, he wrote, like, he never went up to see the body, never messed with their stuff. He just shot him, picked up the shell casings and left. And he said there were even a couple times that he saw people that he shot, like, on the news.
Hmm. Okay, like a pyromaniac wants to see.
I don't know. I don't think it was like he was flipping through the channels looking for it, but he just said, like, it sounds more like a passive, like sometimes he'd see it, you know?
Interesting.
And like, he said that, like, they were like, why'd you do it? And he said that he would pass someone on the road and he would just hear a voice in his head that was like, go back and get him.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Bro. Yeah. And he's not the only one. So this one, you know, that's kind of a random one, you know, like, yeah. not quite hunting, probably like hunting in its most basic form. But this next guy, Robert Hansen, now he wanted to hunt, right?
Okay.
So this guy's whole MO, I found this guy like yesterday, so I don't have his whole life story written out. I just have his Wikipedia pulled up. But basically his MO was that he would fucking, like, he was a pilot, right? He lived out in Alaska. And he would, like, take people out on his plane.
Oh, fuck.
And he would just land, and then he would, like, just say, go. Like, he would just, like, be like, go. You got, like, 30 minutes.
I'm going to give you a head start type thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And
oh, shit.
She, like, distract them.
And, you know, up in Alaska, it was a bear. It was the elements. Who knows what happened?
Yeah, it was insane.
That's the perfect crime.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Bears don't leave bullet holes.
Are you saying he eventually got caught as well?
He did get caught. He is doing his time.
Okay.
Let me see right here. 461 years in prison without parole.
What?
Hopefully in the future we can digitize people's minds to actually make them serve 461 years.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
What do judges know that they're giving these, like, massively inflated sentences? Like, do they know that artificial intelligence and, like, life preservation through the computers coming, and they're like,
I don't know,
put you in the books.
It seems a little superfluous to me. Like, life without parole, anything other than that, you're just like trying to flex,
you just, yeah, making a bit of a spectacle out of it. I get that,
you know. But he would just fly out, let him go, and then fucking get him.
That's horrifying.
Now, I think this guy was a bit more of a coward and leaned toward that classic serial killer vibe, because he exclusively kidnapped women.
Oh.
Not kidnapped, but it's weird. There's a lot of so I'm looking at his, like, known victims, and he has three, right, that they couldn't stick him with, and they're like, yeah, like, he denies them. He admitted to some but not to others, but they're like, dude, we know you did it, because there's an X where they were found on his aviation map.
Okay. And they couldn't stick him with the X?
No, they couldn't stick him. I mean, they stuck him with enough for fucking 461 years.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
And, like, there's other historical examples of, like, human hunting, right? Upper class of Sparta would regular just, like, fucking just stalk and kill the servile population. The helot, I believe they're called.
Just out in the street, just kill the lesser.
Yeah, and it's weird because in a lot of these historical references, they, like, it's cited as, like, a way to cull the population.
Okay. If they want to, like, justify it to themselves some way, sure.
Yeah, like, Spanish Civil War. It became, like, super popular among, like, the wealthy, the sons of wealthy landowners. The hunts would take place on horseback and targeted landless peasants as an extension of the White Terror. They were jokingly referred to as Reforma Agraria, referencing the mass grave the victims would be dumped into and the land reforms the lower class had been attempting to attain. I don't know much about the Spanish Civil War. You got the history degree. What's up?
Shit's fucked. I mean, you know, any yeah. kind of wide-scale social upheaval, especially when one class is about to lose its spot, it makes them act up, you know?
Yeah, it's so weird to me. Like, I don't know.
You mean like the act of human hunting is weird to you? Like the want to do that? Or what do you mean?
Like the desire. I mean, like, yeah, serial killers are going to be serial killers, you know? But like the fact that just in society that something can be like, people can be removed from what they're actually doing. You know what I mean? Like, in the Spanish Civil War, they like looked at it as a fucking game, you know?
I mean, what are your thoughts on dueling?
Dueling?
Yeah, in regards to like the desire to fight and kill another person that's not like a military style thing, but like a more civilian sense like this.
I mean, I guess back in the day when dueling was a thing, like, I still think it was more of a norm than fucking, like, a hunting. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A duel is definitely different from a hunt, and, like, that was somewhat of a norm back then. And they didn't always go to the death, you know?
Sure. First blood, first to damage, first to relent, sure.
Like... So I think a duel is, that's a different thing.
Okay.
You know?
There was one example that you were given that I was pretty interested in. You said something about more like a widespread, like, battle royal type thing?
Yeah. Let me move into that.
Sure.
Right. So this one, it's hard to find information on. This is where it starts going into an urban legend kind of thing, right? Mm. So, a lot of these stories I found on the slash K boards and the slash X boards of 4chan, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, the slash X board, that is all about, like, paranormal, encrypted and stuff. But are you familiar with the slash K board?
Is it K for kill?
No, it's commando with a K. It's like... It's for outdoorsmen, okay. People who like guns, military surplus gear, stuff like that.
Okay.
You know, and that's the slash K board. And some people were sharing stories on this thread about how they'll hike out into the middle of the woods for the night, usually with a buddy, because that's what a lot of these guys like to do. They just like to go hang out in the woods with a buddy. But not like you and me do, where we go to a campsite and we pay for it and we fucking, you know, have a good time, drink beer by the fire. These guys, they just like, they like roughing it, you know?
Oh, like deep woods type thing?
Yeah, they're not, there's probably not a campsite around them for miles. It's probably illegal.
Hmm.
You know?
Okay, like a real roughing it type shit. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Which is fun sometimes, but not my preferred method of camping.
Oh, you.
But so the story goes that they'll be well into the middle of the night, drinking, hanging out, build a fire, and all of a sudden a bunch of flares will go off from random places in the forest. And a few minutes after the flares go off, bullets will just start flying.
Mm.
Yeah, and like they're like, fuck this, and they hunker down, they hide, they run, but they usually come back once it dies down, and they'll find shell casings, abandoned gear, blood, but never the bodies. Now these guys, these commandos, they believe that it's a real life fucking battle royale.
Okay. Couple of your friends just go out and do it out to the death?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, they got, like, that's my question, though, is how do they organize this thing?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Weird.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, if it was online, we'd be able to find traces of it. This is exactly the kind of thing that would blow up online. You know? So they got to be meeting. Like, at some point, this probably has to transfer to an in-person meeting.
You know, your local, like, NRA gun show?
Probably not. Probably not. That's the most anti-gun gun group there is. But it's probably some forum that we've never fucking heard of that has some name like Gardening Tips, or it's just on the deep web, and they're talking in a code. Okay, you know,
like a cipher type thing. Okay.
And at some point, it's just like, okay, well, let's meet up in person and we'll finalize these rules.
I'm trying to put myself in the spot, like in the mindset of a person who's trying to go out and have a battle royal. Like, sure, you win, I guess. You get the thrill, but it seems to me like shooting around with all your buddies late at night sounds like a good way to get clipped. Like, it's not like I have, like, good control over my own situation there.
Dude, here's my thinking is, like, it's not buddies, you know? Like, these are dudes that don't know each other, but they all know what they want to do, you know?
Oh, I didn't, I meant more like kindred spirit type buddies, yeah.
Oh,
like, dudes who are like, okay, we're going to do this.
Yeah. But, I mean, I just don't know. Like, it's fucking crazy to me.
Interesting, yeah.
And it's got to be, like, the mindset's got to be similar to these serial killers that we talked about earlier. Similar, but they're, like, not so far removed from society that they're just going to do a random killing.
What do you,
you know?
That, what do you think the eyes of the law have to say? About like
probably illegal.
I think like if me and all my compatriots agree that we're gonna go kill each other in the woods, you think they're not gonna like that?
I mean, I feel like there's a good percentage of the population that's gonna be like, dude, I don't care what you and your buddies consentingly do
in the woods
on your own land. And then I think a pretty good part of the population is gonna be like, no, that's wrong. You know?
Interesting, yeah. I mean, is that like, does that fall under manslaughter? To be like, take part in a blood sport event?
I guess it would probably fall under manslaughter.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But like, a bunch of dudes go out and they're like, okay, only one of us is coming back. And they spread out, and apparently the fucking flares mean, like, I'm ready.
No.
Like, let's start, you know?
So,
and it's weird because people will get, like, mixed up in it, too, because another one of the stories was talking about how, like, that dude's an avid hiker in the area. He, like, is really big into the hiking community, the outdoors community of the area, so he knows the flare codes. Because apparently there's a bunch of flare codes.
That's
right. And somebody shot up like a red one, which meant like, I need medical attention right now.
Okay.
Right. And then he saw like a green one and a blue one, and they all meant different things. I don't remember what they were. But he started walking towards the red flare to go help his fellow hiker, and he just started getting fucking shot at.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, and, like, the hunter, like, you know, he probably doesn't fucking remember all the faces at from the fucking McDonald's meetup that morning, so he's just like, hey, bitch, time to die.
Yeah, defend yourself, sure.
You know? I mean, if I was him, I wouldn't take the chance.
But he's...
And I mean, these are commandos we're talking about, too. These guys, like, they just like walking around with their rifle just for funsies.
And they, by God, wanted to use it.
No, I mean, like, the dudes, like, that are posting these stories, like, a lot of their stories, okay. They're just, like, you know, they just like to simulate that survivalist apocalypse, not apocalypse, I guess, but, like, that survivalist setting, you know?
Yeah.
Not quite LARPing, but they want to, you know, they carry their guns out there with them.
No,
if I was going commando camping like these guys are, that off deep in the woods, just me and a buddy, I would probably fucking bring my gun as well.
I mean, I can see the very practical need to, like, keep the thing on me out in the woods.
Oh, yeah. But these guys are just like, you know, they start getting shot at and they're like, fuck this. And they just run, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. Go ahead.
Do you think there's a prize for winning the Woods Battle Royal?
Probably, like, the thrill of living and getting to do it again. You know, I got to think that these guys are different from the serial killers in that, like, the serial killer, he obviously gets more gratitude from the act of killing. Right?
Yeah.
But I think that these dudes, if they're real, they get more gratitude from the act of, like, the battle, you know?
You mean, like the moment-to-moment, like, being in the trenches, so to speak?
Like, being in a... Yeah, they want the no-shit battle. They want the challenge. Like, they want to feel like their life is in danger.
And to, like, conquer that situation.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know? And, like, some people talk about other versions of this where it goes back to more of that serial killer aspect where they'll go around during deer season and instead of, like, actually hunting a deer, they'll just shoot another hunter out there.
Oh, just hunt the hunter, Dick Cheney style. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, as I go deeper, I come across things about, like, the Illuminati, the deep state, and they're hunting fucking humans for sports because it's all a blood ritual for the interdimensional vampires or whatever Alex Jones is talking about that week.
No, I don't need to take it that far. Like, I can, like, push my empathy out enough to understand, I think, like, wanting to maybe a little shooting, you know.
So I'm going to do the big reveal. I was sitting on this script for a while before I was sitting on the script like last year when we took that long hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was actually supposed to be the next episode. And back then I found a lot more good stuff. But like I said, I was on a time crunch that week. Or I was on a time crunch this week, so I didn't have enough time to go look for all that good stuff that I hadn't saved when I was planning on doing this topic. But I very strongly remember, like, only one instance I could find of this sort of thing actually happening. I'm beating myself up because I can't remember much other than that they found a couple bodies and a bloodied note on a tree that said, I won.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh,
so that's where it speaks to me that this is more about the battle. This is more about the victory. You know what I mean?
Sure. The guy won. It probably, like, took a wild one to the liver and bled out in the woods.
Uh-huh. That's or, like, you know, he was looting one of his fucking fellow dudes, like it was Warzone, like it was Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's sick. That's like a No Country for Old Men scene.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And, like, you know, you see it in the media, or not media, but you see human hunting, blood sport, you see it in the movies.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and, like, whenever you watch a blood sport movie, I think everyone has pondered in their life what a world with real blood sport would be like.
Yeah, what a purge night would be like, sure.
Uh-huh. Well.
Is that different?
I would say that that's different.
Okay.
And that, like, the purge is anarchy, like, whatever. And that one in the movie actually is some fucking deep state conspiracy to fucking kill the population. Which, hey, if you're sitting there behind your phone, behind your headphones, behind your computer, whatever you're using to listen to this fucking podcast, and you think that one day the purge might be real, I can promise you 100% that the purge will never happen.
Do you know people who are holding out for it?
Oh, I remember back when that movie came out, you know? I see people sharing stuff on Facebook, like fake woke people that are just like, well, one day when the purge is real, it's like, shut up, man. The purge will never be real.
I was kind of worried when you said you had a big reveal that you were going to tell the people about that one time that we went shooting. I said that really cursed thing.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, no, geez.
Oh, yeah.
Because you said it. You're like, everyone's been in that moment and thought, you know.
Nah, everyone has. And it is completely natural to recognize the power that is in your hands when you hold a weapon of any sort.
Yeah, you know, we were just out shooting, and after I, you know, did my little turn, I looked over to Dan and was like, you know, if I wanted to, I could blow you all back.
And honestly, it's probably worse if you don't recognize the power that you hold in your hands, because then you're not going to realize how careful you need to be with something like a firearm.
Oh, yeah. I work with even like dummied down theatrical firearms all the time. And the amount of respect I'm telling them to put to it is like, absolutely, I get you.
So are you, I don't want to delve too deep into your personal life, but I know you're certified with melee weapons. Are you like a certified handler of stage firearms too?
I've, you know, taken a couple courses. It's not that much like regimented and, you know, certified. I mean, I have a stupid little like piece of paper that says I took a course, but I have in shows, you know, handled theatrical firearms, taught people how to use them, fire them, maintenance, that kind of shit.
So do you get like jackasses that hold it for the first time and think they have a fucking Nerf gun?
It's more, people are more nervous. People are more
really
people. I've dealt with a lot more scared people than a lot more cocky people, which I'm thankful for. But yeah.
I mean, I don't want to straight up reveal what I do for work, but it's not hard to read between the lines. But like, I handle a firearm. I handle firearms pretty regularly at work, and it's pretty fucking like, I gotta say, when I was first getting into it, and like I was just carrying one around, I was like, okay, yeah, you know, whatever. But then, like, there came a day when they were like, yeah, here's rounds for it. And I was walking around with rounds in it. I was like, this is a little weird. But that's good. That's good. That's how you should always
response. Yeah.
If you're handling that, you know, you should always be a little nervous, not jumpy, not freaking out, but you should be. You should always have that grim reminder in the back of your mind, because it'll save your ass. It'll save your ass from fucking negligent discharge, you know, shoot you, shoot your buddy. And it happens, you know. I know a guy that it happened to recently. Like, he shot himself in the leg. You know, he's fine and all, but like, it's just crazy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when it happens with me, the backstage gets lit on fire. Nothing as serious as that, but it happens.
Now, are you guys shooting, like, blanks out of those?
sometimes we're loading them with blanks. Some people are assholes and bring real guns that aren't dummied. Like, the majority of the ones I work with have been dummied that they can't chamber around.
Ah.
But some people just bring their, you know, their blaster from home.
Damn.
I don't want to do that, dude. And they control the discharge. It's not coming out the barrel. It's being vented from the side. Like, all this kind of safety shit.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, that's a little bit of a offshoot from what we were talking about originally, but you have any closing thoughts on the human hunting phenomenon?
Yeah, I was gonna ask you, do you remember that one horrible story I had told? It's been, you know, like probably 5-10 years since, about the trucker who almost got hunted in the Appalachians?
I vaguely remember it, but give me a refresher. Yeah.
There's a story that I'd heard. It's stuck with me for such a long time. It's one of those, like, that really, like, hits the back of your spine type things. There's this guy. Mm-hmm. He's driving through the mountains, trying to get over to the Carolinas. And I hate it now because I've crossed the fucking Smokies so many times that I think about it. And he's on these really windy roads.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees, when he comes around a turn, two cars stopped in the middle of the street. And a person laying down in the ground in between them.
Yeah.
Like, maybe there's a crash, maybe someone came through the windshield, like, he doesn't know what it is. So he gets out of the car to investigate the person on the ground, and he notices in the ditches and on the hillsides are, like, people lined all around, like, watching him.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like the... that.
Oh, you know what? I do remember this story.
Mm. And he said he gunned the fuck out of there. Because he had enough reaction time to notice that he was getting baited, and what he thought was like a mountain village uses that trick, that like mercy and concern of passerbys to get them out of their car.
Yeah, you know, I remember the story because ever since you told me that story, I have been like the opposite of a good Samaritan. If you're sitting there on the side of the roads with your hazards, sucks. I'm driving.
Oh, in the United States of America, you should not pick someone up on the highway or be picked up on the highway. That's like serial killer 101.
Yeah, absolutely not. That's why they made hitchhiking illegal.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I can't believe that there was a time where it was common for like people to just be like, oh, where you heading? Yeah, I'll take you there, buddy. Hop in.
Yeah, didn't y'all see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
No, I haven't, actually.
There's a little bit of hitchhiking in that one, and it goes crazy.
No, like, absolutely not.
Mm.
And, like, that's horrible for both people, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. If you're the dude driving, you're like, who the fuck did I just pick up? And if you're the dude hitchhiking, it's who the fuck did I just get in the car with?
Hey. It was a wild world back then.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's the only like very distinct human hunting horrifying story I had in my pocket.
Yeah, so human hunters. Apparently they're out there. Watch your back.
Be on the lookout.
All right, well, I'm ready to go ahead and move into whatever you brought. You told me the name of it, and I got to tell you, it does not sound great.
So I chose this one. I wanted to sort of counterbalance it. It was a bit of a heavy topic to start.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to bring, I found this really cool, like old, basically a monster manual called The Fearsome Creatures of the Lumberwoods with a few desert and mountain beasts.
Right.
And it's,
where's this, what region of the world does that book originate from?
It is a North American book.
Ah, okay.
It
So is this a North American thing?
Yeah, it's living somewhere in between, like, what are your thoughts on American folk tale? Like Johnny Appleseed and Paul Bunyan type shit.
I don't know.
You don't like that?
I mean, like, it's interesting, but I don't know. You gonna talk about T-Rose fighting the Snallygaster?
I feel like our, like, lore or whatever is kind of lame. You know, Johnny Appleseed sucks.
And yeah. Paul Bunyan also sucks. Sucks.
Stupid shit.
And if you're ever in the Wisconsin Dells and they fucking try to get you to go to the Paul Bunyan Pancake Factory or whatever the fuck it's called, don't go. It sucks.
It does suck. But this story book bridges the gap between like a folklore Paul Bunyan-y type thing and a real like cryptid catalog.
Okay. That sounds interesting.
I luckily fell upon it Tuesday when I was like, oh shit, my searches aren't giving me anything. I need something juicy for this episode.
Oh, that's always the worst. Tuesday is the worst day of the week for me because Monday is great because I'm looking at all the feedback we're getting for the podcast. Mm-hmm. And then like, I'm just riding that fucking uploaded a video high. And then like Tuesday, it's like, fuck, I got to do it again next week. What the fuck am I going to bring?
I was exactly in that spot. And I found this book, and it's written by a state forester and a commissioner of conservation from Minnesota.
Does he have a name?
He is named William Thomas Cox.
William Thomas Cox. C-O-X?
C-O-X, yes.
Oh, yeah. Fearsome Creatures, there it is.
Yeah, and he gave me like half a dozen pretty sick cryptids. I kind of wanted to spend a little time going through the catalog, flicking through my favorites.
Oh, I've become a fan. When we first did the show, it was like the complete and utter history from when Bigfoot was first mentioned. But I've come to really appreciate the cryptid charcuterie board.
Oh, this is absolutely the charcuterie board today.
So let's hear it.
Absolutely. So you, funnily enough, said it. The fucking Snallygaster? Is that what you said?
Yeah, the Snallygaster.
Snallygaster's in here. He's right here on my list.
Of course.
So he, Cox writes this book with kind of a story to it. It's having to do a lot with the lumber business in North America.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to read you the preface to this book. Every lumber region has its lore. Thrilling tales of adventure are told in camp wherever the logger has entered the wilderness. The lumberjack is an imaginative being, and a story loses none of its interest as it is carried and repeated from one camp to another. Stories which I know to have originated on the Penobscot and the Kennebec are told, somewhat strengthened and improved in the redwood camps of Holton Bay. Yarns spun and originated among the river drivers of the Ottawa, the St. Croix, and the Upper Mississippi are respun to listening loggers on Vancouver Island, but every lumber district has its own particular tale. Some of those songs and some mysterious stories or vague rumors of dreadful beasts which regale newcomers and frighten people unfamiliar with the woods. So I love it.
Yeah, I love it too, because like, what is this other fucking 1800s version of what we're doing?
Mm-hmm. It's,
you know,
it's on the logging, like out in the woods being like, hey, there's a Snallygaster out there. Hey, there's this beast out here.
Yeah. So that's really cool.
So the first one you had, can you say his name again? I keep reading him all day. It's like in my
sleep. The Snallygaster.
Yeah, that's him. The Snallygaster. This first beast is a, I don't even know what to call it. I'm looking at these really lovely illustrations from the book. He describes it as a huge glossy, furry crocodile.
Oh, what?
It is covered with long, glossy fur. It has no legs or fins except for one long spike on its back. And its tail is resembling the propeller on a steamboat with bony plates jutting out of the end.
No.
I'm going to send you the picture. This dude has a little paddle out of the back.
Why does this thing sound like a eldritch horror?
These dudes are running the line between like natural beast and horrifying homunculi. So take a look at that. I'll send you the copy. This is a full PDF scan of the book. I can put it in the description as well for y'all to pick through.
Oh, this guy's got mermaids in here and shit?
Oh, yeah.
This is cool as fuck. That's not the Snallygaster that I remember.
Oh, is there because a different one?
When me and you talked about fucking the Snallygaster in like high school and stuff like that, when we were playing fucking D&D in our friend's basement, this sounds like a fucking like it's like a dragon almost.
Oh yeah. You know, you're
and Teddy Roosevelt supposedly wanted to hunt the Snallygaster.
Mm-hmm. I think I remember that one, yeah. I mean, I guess that's a part of it. Like, his preface said, you know, like, these are these tales that are born out in the woods, and they get switched and pulled, and they become part of this, like, American lore story.
They get, you know, yeah, they trade so many hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you were walking or you were riding a horse or a train to wherever you were going, you know, why not? What else are you going to do besides sit around and bullshit with the other dudes on the train?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I mean, if you're on that train for 48 hours riding across the country, like eventually you're going to run out of like small talk and be like, dude, one time we were out there and we saw this.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you cracking up?
I think you're trying to tell me something. It's a subliminal message here.
So Christian and I saw a video detailing what it's like to ride the Amtrak from Union Station to Washington, and it looks really fun. I think it looks really, really fun. You get the little room out, and I just think it sounds like a fun time. And so, you know, trying to do, and it's relatively cheap for a trip. And so I told my wife, hey, honey, do you think it would be fun if we rode the train from Union Station to Seattle, Washington? And she's like, that sounds fucking miserable. And I was like, Christian, what do you think? Maybe we could do it. And nobody wants to ride the train with me.
If we're going to go on a cross country tour, I want to see something horrifying. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I thought it'd be cool to maybe record an episode of the podcast on the train. I don't know. I'm trying to spice things up a little bit, all right?
I'll fall for it. And if you hammer that nail enough times, I will relent.
But anyways, please, did not mean to interrupt.
No worries. So the Snallygaster is around the Florida swamps. Up north, I think, by what is that godforsaken state? Alabama?
Georgia.
Yeah.
Bama.
Yeah, up there in those states.
Roll Tide.
The next one I want to give to you is in the Funeral Range in California. Now, can you tell me a cooler fucking mountain range than the Funeral Range?
No, that sounds pretty sick.
We are talking next about the Funeral Mountain Terra Shot.
Terrashot?
Yeah, T-E-R-R-A-S-H-O-T, Terrashot.
All right.
It's described as casket-like, boxy, 6 to 8 feet long, with a shell running the length of its back, 4 long and wobbly legs.
Oh my god, this thing looks horrible.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck?
It says that it gets into spats with the Mormons.
He just hates the Mormons.
They have a feud, this Terrashot and the Mormons.
These look like the things from Morrowind that just stand off in the sea.
Oh, the like bus dudes that they ride?
You know what this reminds me of? Hmm. Do you remember the Jabafo Fi episode when I talked about giant spiders?
Mm-hmm.
There was an American folklore tale in there about a giant, like it was a horse, but it had 8 legs like a spider. And lumberjacks reported seeing it just running through the woods, and they called them old spider legs.
That's my man, old spider legs. You'll get used to it, kid.
Let me find you a picture of old spider legs.
The reason I love the Funeral Mountain Terrashot while you're looking is they reported that in this book. They'll have cute little processions. A bunch of them will start like walking around through the meadows and like they'll form a little corral.
Uh-huh.
And when they reach the desert, they just explode.
What?
They just explode like a landmine and they leave craters in the earth.
What the fuck was this guy smoking?
That's what he saw. That's what he wants to talk about.
That's crazy.
This shit's way cooler than the Bigfoot of the week. How come we're not talking about this guy?
I don't know. And these are just like old lumberjack stories?
Mm-hmm. These collected, like amassed lumberjack tales, yeah.
That's insane. So these things are so like jarring in differences of appearance.
Mm-hmm.
That I just like, I don't know. I don't know what to make of it, you know?
They're like Dr. Seussie, in a way, like they're whimsical. They're
kind That's of what strange. I was going to say. It's got that kind of aesthetic of like just weird for the sake of weird.
Mm-hmm. And
you know,
I'm giving some of these lumberjacks some credit. They're coming with some pretty like sick monster designs.
Yeah, no, we need more Terrashot fucking sightings.
Next up, let me give you the Slide Rock Bolter.
Real quick, did you see the old spider legs?
Yeah, I saw the spider centaur. Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't do nothing. He just fucking was on his way, just hanging out.
And just passed by?
Yep.
Hmm.
Okay, I just Googled the Slide Rock Bolter. This thing just looks like a beached whale.
Yeah, do you see this like mountain whale fish?
Yeah, what is it? Tell me about the Slide Rock Bolter, I guess.
Slide Rock Bolter, native to Colorado.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. He, it says that he pisses off tourists who are coming into the Colorado mountains. He lives in the steepest slopes of the mountains.
Uh-huh.
He will sit in a 45 degree or steeper hill for days, just sitting really still, waiting for some hiker or some like idiot tourist to come by and walk into its fucking mouth like it's a cave in the mountain.
What the fuck?
Yeah, he'll just sit still on a slope, like hook his spine so that his mouth's jutting out like a cave mouth and just let people walk on in.
Oh my god.
Mm-hmm.
These things are so dumb.
He rocks.
These are so dumb.
He kind of goes into it earlier, like he makes the assumption, I guess, or like the hypothesis that as like lumbering grows in America and as like populations are moving and going deeper into these forests, that these creatures are rousing. So like I a mean, lot of
yeah,
them,
that makes sense.
But
that makes sense, but I don't know.
You're gonna get eaten by the slide rock bolter if you walk into a cave.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That sounds like a keep the kids off the mountain kind of story.
Yeah, like be careful walking in the woods or else you'll find the bolter and he'll eat you.
The slide rock bolter.
This next one, it's for your wife.
Oh.
If you're listening, we're next talking about.
Oh, she's not listening.
No, it's in the future. I'm going to send it to her.
Okay.
My energy. This is the cactus cat.
The cactus cat. You really put it best when you said these are like Dr. Seuss monsters.
Mm-hmm. They're like shitty. They're weird. They like have like one gimmick. So, here's our cactus cat. He lives in the American, you know, Southwest, the worst part of the country.
Uh-huh.
And the only...
Well...
Yeah, do you have a contender?
Yeah, I do have a fucking contender. It's called Louisiana. This goddamn fucking hellhole.
Well, you don't have cactuses in Louisiana, so you can't sustain a wide population of cactus cats who...
Yeah.
The only cool thing about them is that they have... thorny hair. Their tail branches like a cactus. And their front feet don't have paws, but they have knife blades so that they can cut into the cactus and drink its sap.
Fucking stupid.
Like the that monster, that Dead Island zombie you find late in the game that just has like the hands off and it's just bones.
Yeah.
Like that.
These all look like random generated creatures from like No Man's Sky.
Yeah, they're like spore creatures.
That's so fucking weird.
And hands off, like give a hand, to the dude who illustrated these that Cox found to do this. These are great.
Oh yeah, I'm having a great time with these.
I've got two left for you. One, the main event's coming. But
I'm ready.
Before we get there, this one's probably the weirdest.
I don't know how you get weirder than the Terra shot.
Oh, let me skip past him. I'll come back to you. Oh, God. Oh, God, where is he? I skipped some of the good ones, so I invite everyone to take a little bit of time and dig through this book. There's a couple of gems I'm going to leave for y'all to discover. But next up, we have the Tripodero.
Tripodero. That sounds like a drink.
It sounds like a demon.
How you spell that?
Tripodero.
Of course, it's this fucking stupid thing.
So, the Tripodero.
No, this is the Tripod Arrow.
He's just a bulbous slug type thing on very long telescopic legs, like a dewpod, and he has a kangaroo tail to form the tripod.
Oh my God! What the fuck?
He's just like a squishy head snout on two really long legs and a tail.
These are ridiculous. Do they do anything, or like, do any of these guys do anything? Are there more stories? Anything like that?
The Tripodero is known to, I don't know how he does it, but he uses his snout to like spit clay at you to knock you unconscious.
Of course he does something fucking stupid like that.
And then he whips it away on his really big legs.
Let's see what the results yield when I Google image search Tripodero sighting. Yeah, nothing.
Where are they? Where are you, Tripodero? I love you.
Here's the closest thing I can come to of a modern sighting of the Tripodero.
Oh my, just a long hippo.
It's just a long hippo.
This is exactly what I wanted. I wanted like rapid fire, like all you can eat shit monsters. So
everything I find on like regular stuff is like calling these folklore stories, you know?
They're separated. Yeah, they've got a little bit of time. They're practically jokes at this point.
Yeah. Let's hear the last one. Let's see him.
The last one. The one that started this all. The further investigation of this creature is what led me to the book. This is the Squonk.
See, that's what you baited me with. You were like, yeah, talking about the Squonk. I'm like, oh boy.
Now, the Squonk's the main event. He's the whole package. I fucking love this guy. He's the Squonk is known best as like a really shitty, really sad, ugly pig, right? Just like
of course.
Disgusting beast. He lives in the hemlock forests in northern Pennsylvania. And his defining trait is that he's got depression. He's sad.
So it's just Eeyore?
He's fucking sad, yeah. And people have tried to hunt him. People, if you catch a Squonk, he has the magical ability of, what are they called? The Mirror Cops in Infinity Train?
Yeah.
He will cry until he dissolves into his own pool of tears, and he'll escape that way.
Jesus Christ.
He gets so sad that people are going to look at him and laugh at him that he melts with his own tears and escapes.
I fucking hate this thing. Oh my god.
People will like capture him and they'll go to the authorities and they'll just have a wet sack.
All right. Well, now that we're done with that fucking plethora of failed serial mascots.
Can I give you one more piece?
Yeah, of the Squonk? Send it. Send it.
The Squonk. I chose to pursue him because my favorite vocalist, Phil Collins, wrote a song about the Squonk.
Phil Collins wrote a fucking song about the Squonk?
It's called Squonk from his band Genesis. Yep.
Is it a good song, at least?
It fucking sucks. Oh my god. I invite everyone to go listen to Squonk by Genesis.
I'll check it out.
It's about like a pig with depression.
Oh my lord. So,
that's my gaggle of monsters.
Yeah, so you know, like you know how when you go to order something online and it's like they always have an option where you can buy like, oh yeah, hey, we made an oopsie on this one, so it's super cheap.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I feel like we just did with these tales from the Lumberwood.
That like mom and dad ran out of good monsters, so we had to go to the Dollar General and get the fucking the generic cryptids.
That's what this feels like. This feels like great value cryptids.
All RC Cola monsters.
Oh, that's awesome. So I wanted to ask you, where do you draw the line between folklore and a cryptid?
I think the only difference between folklore and cryptid is like the current population having the energy to maintain it.
You think so? So if everyone just stopped talking about the Mothman tomorrow,
Yeah.
You'd just be like, oh, well, I guess there was no merit to any of that.
If there's not, like, any energy, any, like, cultural investment into the creature, like, it's... Things like the Mothman have, like, left its mark. Like, there's going to be, like, sociological records of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if people just sort of let it fade, they'll remember it as that thing that people were talking about back in the day, and they're not going to really, like... It's not really going to have sway in the present, whenever that may be. And that's, I think, when it, like, allows itself to slide into folklore. Like, oh, those silly people thought they saw this. Or, like, oh, this silly book about the cactus cat. Nobody pays that any mind today. That's just folklore.
Yeah. I guess fair enough. And I guess you could call it a gray area, you know? Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is 1910. Like, this is only 100 years old. Do you consider folklore to be that recent?
Well, actually, don't forget how old you are. It's 120 years old.
I mean, yeah. Like,
I don't know. I mean, I guess what constitutes a cryptid for me is that, like, people are talking about this in the modern age.
Mm-hmm.
In, like, the information age, where it's generally accepted that this stuff isn't real, and they're swearing by it. And I mean, it goes back to what I said with the Glimmer Man, where it's probably split up into thirds. I'd say only about a third of cryptid stories are a genuine
sighting, like, or something.
Genuine sighting or a genuine interaction where something happened that cannot be explained.
Hmm. Yeah, like, if people aren't going around saying or even pretending that they've seen a Tripodero or a Slide Rock Bolter, like, it's just an old story we used to tell each other.
I guess that's really what makes it.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, we could be bringing it back, reviving it.
And yeah,
we say it all the time, like, that energy of people believing something manifests its appearance in other places. So, like, if you start...
The conviction in a person's voice when they're telling you, you know?
If you start seeding people with these squawk stories enough times, maybe they're out in the woods and something flips in their brains and they start to see a little sad pig with depression. Little crybaby pig.
You think so?
I mean, maybe not the squonk. He's kind of a jobber.
Everything you brought me was a jobber today.
Even the snallygaster?
The Terra Shot's pretty fucking cool.
Oh, he's like a Death Stranding monster.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's like 6, maybe, of 20, 25, and there's new additions, there's additional monsters to enjoy. So if you ever are bored and you want to laugh at these really shitty monsters, I'm going to put the link down. Please enjoy that.
I think, you know, they might be jobbers, but that was definitely fun going over those.
Good.
You know, it's no Mothman, it's no Dogman, but that was definitely fun.
Hopefully to, like, spice up your thoughts of American folklore. It's not always just... I keep going to Appleseed, but he's, like, kind of the only one I care about. No. Who's the railroad guy?
Davy Crockett.
Oh, Davy Crockett. Shit.
John Henry.
Who's John Henry? We went to high school.
That's the railroad guy.
Is that him? I thought it was Piston Pete.
Who?
I don't know. There's some folklore about a dude who, like, threw spikes into the ground really fast. Is that John Henry?
Yeah, that was John Henry.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah. That's a lame story, too.
They suck. I want, like, my grandmother to be talking about, like, she had a cactus cat when she went to Arizona.
Oh, man. Well... Do you have any more closing thoughts before we wrap it up here?
No, that's all that I've got.
All right, everybody. Tune in sometime next week when me and Christian bring you the truth once more. Watch out for the fucking the Snallygaster, I guess. Don't forget to subscribe, like, comment, and send us your stories at supermadtower@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter at Mad Tower Radio. And I believe we are also Mad Tower Radio on Instagram.
Great.
Anything else you want to say to the people?
Yeah. The next time you're going grocery shopping and, you know, you're taking the frozen chicken and the pears and the LaCroix cans out of your bag, and you see at the bottom of that plastic bag it's a little wet, think about the squonk and listen to Phil Collins.
Oh, man. Well, this is Mad Tower Radio, ending transmission.